All right, everybody, you ready for some nice, comfortable summer weather? We have a new toy. Don't have to sit up here and worry which way I'm pushing the buttons now. Now we can just push things like that. It comes in nicely. All right, well, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to work our way through this. And as I was studying through the lesson there, I found I could break this up a little bit. It was kind of interesting to look at it and study it from that point of view. And I'm just going to read verse 1 and then kind of a kick off, and then we'll just get into the lesson. So verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, but that how our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Let's pray. Father, now we thank you again for your kindness and love toward us and taking care of us. And Father, as we look into this lesson, I pray that we will be able to look at the examples that you've shown and the importance it is to follow what you have for us and not to go our way and try to jump into things of the world and make it part of our lives, thinking that we can do both and still be able to walk as we should before you. Father, I thank you that this is not this opportunity is not the first time that situations have happened where people didn't follow your guidance and direction. And as a result, you showed discipline, but Father, you also showed your love and care. And I thank you, Father, that you do that with us on a daily basis, that we can trust you to guide our steps. And when we do falter, that you do pick us up and you dust us off and you put us back on the right path. And Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you that you love us that much. Father, now I pray that you would just be glorified through this lesson, that it's your words and not ours, that as we use them as examples in our lives, that we will be victorious in our walk with you. And Father, we ask it for your son's sake and in his name. Amen. Well, it's interesting. We're going to talk about separation and, independent fundamental Baptist churches, they are separated. And in some ways, they are really separated. You know, they're separated from the other independent fundamental Baptist church up the street, or the independent Baptist church up the street, or the fundamental, and separation is very unique. And sadly, we use separation as a weapon in some cases, and it actually does us more harm. But the Apostle Paul here is trying to point out that as we ended chapter 9, he talked about, it says, "I myself should be a castaway." His concern was being disqualified for the service that he was endeavoring and leading in, meaning that God would either put him on the shelf and not use him anymore, or even call him home. And what he's trying to relay to the Corinthians is that it's possible that you could fall into this situation. And he said, I want to show you some examples where that has happened. And the beginnings of this is that, he's going to give a little history lesson on Israel as they're coming out. And so I tried to do something like, that. and I broke them into four little segments, and as we go through this section from up to verse 22, and God's the Israel's failure to trust God's protection. In verses 1 and 2, he talks about, that they were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And in verse 2 says, "And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." And when you look at that from that standpoint, they're talking, baptism and believers' baptism. But what he's trying to say is they were all immersed in what Moses had laid out, and that's how they're utilizing it. or at least that's how I understand it. So pastor's nodding his head, so I must be kind of on the right track. but the whole thing that Paul's trying to point out is the Israelite people have these privileges, and you, the Corinthian believers, and us as believers today have privileges the very same. And what he's trying to point out is that I don't want you to be ignorant in this. It's happened before, and I don't want you to fall prey to doing these things, knowing that you're all under this. And you know, they were under God's laws through Moses. Moses gave them a law. We're under God's or Christ's laws, and the New Testament and the Old Testament, you know, as we've already seen, was a foreshadowing of Christ and what was to come. And of course, it's revealed in the New Testament. And although, so he said, that they were brought out of Egypt. Well, we were brought out of the world of sin. And so he was showing them, okay, this is what you were brought from. And oh, by the way, some of you Jews that are in the group there, remember what was happening to your forefathers? Well, he was laying this all out for them. And he said, they were the obligations under Moses' law to follow that law and to follow it through. And we've seen, the faith that they were following in there, understanding that, okay, this is not going to get me salvation, because I think most of them understood what salvation was, but didn't understand it like we understand it. Because they were given spiritual meat in the wilderness, and we're going to see that. He says, all did eat the same spiritual meat. Well, they go through there and they look. He says, they didn't trust God's protection. He took care of them. Well, when they were going through the sea, the Red Sea, Pharaoh was following along in Exodus. Pharaoh was chasing him. Exodus 14, and then they were complaining all this while, going, well, we should just stayed back there. Yeah, we were slaves, but we had food, and we're going to die out here. And just, every kind of complaining you could think of. You hear a lot of that complaining yet, Pastor? Well, fortunately here, we're not complaining. Well, I guess we could murmur a bit about, I wish we had our own building. But, that's not murmuring against God. It's just like, hey, God, you got a building out there for us? We're happy with where we're at. And there's some inconveniences. And I'm sure there were some Israelites going through there going, this is somewhat of an inconvenience, but, you keep promising this other, at the other end, all this land. Of course, we know of Joshua and Caleb. When they came back, go, man, we can take that. And of course, the other 10, they were complaining, they're big. They'll crush us like bugs. And, Joshua and Caleb, they're just fine. If you guys are going to be that way, then fine. You suffer with what God's going to do for you. Because I think they understood, and it was pointed out to Moses that, that group was going to wander. So, God was protecting them out through there. But some of them didn't fully understand that. Today, we know that we're protected by God, too. There are many things that we go out and do that sometimes we don't think about, and God protects us. And, I always think back to the redneck thing of, hey, watch this. and then goes, uh-oh. God takes care of the silly people, too. Yeah. But there's times when he lets us kind of fall on our face a little bit. And that's what he did with Israel. But he said, listen, this is how I'm protecting you. The other thing they did was they were a failure to trust his provision. And verse 3 and 4 talks about that. They did eat the same spiritual meat and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. We've had sermons on that verse alone. But just like us, they were fed manna in the wilderness all the way through. When they needed water, water was there for them. Well, our spiritual food is the Word of God, the preaching that comes to us, that prayer when we get together and we're being fed with that. And of course, that not only is it nourishment, but it's refreshing to us. I mean, how many times were we told in Scripture, you know, Christ pointed out that, you know, if you drink of this water, you'll not thirst. Of course, everybody's immediately thinking, man, that sure would be nice not to have to drink water all the time. You know, sometimes I'd like that. But then again, it's like, well, sometimes that water tastes really good. So another sip of it's good. You know, that's what the Word of God does for us. It's another sip that we should be taking each time. And looking at it from that point, you know, so, and as they did that, you know, he was pointing out, you have the same thing. Of course, the New Testament wasn't written during this time frame. But, you know, like in Exodus 16, you know, he's pointing out that they had manna, and verse 17, or chapter 17 talked about, you know, the provision of water. And yet, even when Moses failed with some of the provision of water, God provided the water. But yet, Moses had to suffer that retribution as a result of that. And it was interesting looking through there and knowing that, wow, they had this provided, we have that provided. And we know that even though their spiritual food is being provided, there's going to be groups in there that are not happy with it. And so what happens? Well, you know, you get in there, they were failure to trust God's position. In other words, God was giving them this. But yet, what did he do as they were going through there? They started murmuring against God, Moses. And, you know, Exodus 14 talks about that, Exodus 20. In fact, he was pointing out to them that that they were to enjoy the privileges that were given to them, and yet they were complaining about it. What did they complain about? Well, you know, we're out here, we're going to die. You know, you're giving us the same thing every day. You know, I kind of think back on my life before I got saved. And then when we got saved, all of a sudden it's like, wow, that's nice. Of course, there's days when we go, do I need to read my Bible? Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I need to read my Bible. You know, and it, you know, become a habit, but the right kind of habit. And, you know, it's wrong to go in there and goes, well, I got to read my Bible again. You know, it should be a joy to go in there and read and see what God's going to do. And I know if, you know, I kind of postpone a little bit, you know, I'll get nudged and go read your Bible for a while. You know, and all of a sudden things kind of line back up the way they're supposed to. And, you know, and I'm sure each one of us have been caught in the murmuring under our breaths. None of us here would murmur out loud, would we? You know, about God's word, about the preaching, about prayer? No. Most of us, if something like that happens, it's going to be under our breath, and God's going to, you know, kind of, like my wife says, give you a little turkey pull in the back of the neck, or grab you by the edge of your ear and say, you know, take a look at it again, reread it. I've had to read passages several times going, that's what he wanted me to get out of that. And, you know, out in the wilderness, I think if they would have stopped murmuring for a while and realized, you know, we have been given this stuff. And we've been given food. And when they got tired for a while, what happened? He sent some quails along. So what'd they do when they got them? They ate too much of them, didn't they? They got sick on it. So sometimes when you want some other kind of spiritual food, God's going to maybe give us that stuff the wrong way. You know, so looking through there, you know, that his position, that what he's giving us is in such a way that we're to grow from it. And, you know, this is verse 5 says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And there's time after time when they murmured, well, God just kind of opened the earth for some. He just killed some off. He actually went through, let's see here, they murmured, weren't allowed to enter in the promised land. We think back of what, under the, those under the age of 40, I think it was, something like that, 20, you know, 20 and under, except for Caleb and Joshua, and they were allowed to enter in. Moses was allowed to see it, and when he died, of course, he died of full strength. Aaron wasn't allowed to go in. So those that murmured and didn't do what they were supposed to do, he warned them against idolatry. Well, verse 6 says, "Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as you were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play." Well, what happened when Moses came down from the mount? He found them down there reveling, and they convinced Aaron that, Moses isn't coming back, but we need some sort of, something to worship. Aaron, being as gullible as he was, said, "Well, okay, fine, give me all your earrings," and they melted up. I'm sure what came out was that golden calf. I can only imagine, which is probably this conglomeration. They go, "Oh, that's a calf. That looks like a calf." Kind of like in the, you look up in the clouds and you find the animal in the clouds. I'm sure somebody didn't get out there and goes, "Hey, we're going to make a mold in the sand and we're going to make it look like a calf." No, I think they just melted the stuff up and that's what it looked like. So they said it was a calf. But they were reveling. They were in there disobeying what God wanted them to do. God really wanted them just to be patient and wait. And sometimes that's with us. We get in a hurry with God. We want to go do things our way. And when we, in reality, should be waiting patiently, praying, reading. And then it'll come about, what happened? What did God do with that? He told Moses to crush up that calf and made them drink it in the water. And they had to live that punishment. And what he wanted to do is them not to be idolaters and not to turn away from God. Many Christians sadly get involved in things that take their focus away from the Lord. I think of a lot of people that I've met over my life that were on fire for the Lord, and next thing they're doing other things away from what God wants them to do. Well, if you talk with them, they'll talk about the Lord, and next minute you see them off doing their other things. They let their Christian liberty just kind of draw them away. They're not separating themselves, as the topic is, from those evil activities. And they may not be evil in and of themselves, but they become evil when they take you away from the Lord, when our focus is taken off the Lord. And that's what was happening here. If you read through it, they described, they were naked, they were drinking all sorts of stuff and just having a plain old orgy in reality is what it came down to. And Aaron was part of that. Well, he got to live of that. God reprimanded him and he didn't get to go on the promised land. The other part is going down, "Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. And this is the issue against the people of Moab, that they ran after the daughters. It's like, excuse me, but here's your tribes and family. We don't want you to mix. We want your race to be as pure as possible. And yet, what do they do? They go out going, their eye gathered the wrong direction. And it was sad to see that. Yet, what is he pointing out? Paul's trying to point out to the people here that what was going on in Corinth, and it's going on today, maybe in a little different guise. Pornography is very blatant out on the internet. It's blatant on television. You can't see half of the commercials on television without sex being sold somewhere or another. And yet here these people, something a little bit different. I'm going to try that. And next thing they're wandering away and marriages are being torn apart as a result of that whole situation. In Corinth, they had all the idol worshiping going on there, and they had their temple prostitutes. And it was people being drawn in to it, male and female. And sadly, their focus, again, was taken away from what the Apostle Paul was saying. It was very prevalent. You know, and keeping all of this in mind, that the Apostle Paul is trying to point out to them that this idol worship, even though, you know, some are going to say, well, there's nothing, you know, idols aren't going to do anything for me. Well, it can cause you to turn away from the Lord, get your focus off from the Lord, and all of a sudden you're very carnal in activities. You're no longer attending like you should. Or maybe if you do, you're not paying attention. You're wanting to be elsewhere. A lot of times that's happened. People have gotten so involved today in things. You know, I enjoy watching any kind of wheels turning that are racing. But yet I do not let it cause me to miss church or to miss an opportunity to be with the Lord. You know, there are a lot of people that enjoy certain sports, and in and of themselves are not bad. But when they start letting you draw you away from worshiping the Lord as you should, you know, there's some people goes, well, you know, we need to make that a national holiday, and you know, certain types of sports, the World Series, Super Bowl, Homestead, and last NASCAR race to see who's the champion. Oh, those ought to be, no. Focus like we should. We, you know, while they are entertaining and they can draw you away, and sadly, some of the things that go along with those can take our focus off from the Lord too. You know, it's like, you know, you wish you could just get rid of all those commercials, you know, and let you focus just on what's there. But no, that's what sells the show. So people now are focused on everything else but the actual, you know, the actual show. So now your eye is wandering away. Well, here the people, they were drawn away, and of course in Numbers 25 is where he took that number of people in a plague, and 23,000 people were killed. And that's where I believe Moses set up the serpent for them to look up in. No, that was the fiery serpents. I'm sorry. Where they were look up. But there was a plague of them where they were to actually, they had been disposed. In fact, let's turn over there real quick so I can make sure I'm not leading you down the wrong path. Exodus 25. We got a couple of minutes. Is that what I wanted? Exodus 25?
Numbers.
There I go. Thank you. I should hear what I'm saying. There we go. I knew that didn't look right because it was describing the temple. All right. And here, this is where if you got your Schofield, this is the doctrine of Balaam, and the people were actually in 25, verse 5, it says, and Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one of these men that joined unto Baal Peor. And what had happened was these people had joined with them, and so they judged them, and it says, behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren in Menasheish women in the sight of Moses and the sight of all the congregation, the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust him through, the man of Israel, and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And these that did die in the plague were 20,000 and 4,000. You know, some people go, well, that's a discrepancy now. You said 23,000 over here. Okay, well, you know, God is not wrong. Paul used an estimate. 23,000, 24,000, pastor?
It says 23 died, 20,000 died in one day.
In one day.
So the other 1,000 died the next day.
There we go. Okay. Correction there. I knew I was going to. But, you know, the whole thing is that they wandered away from God. God had to use extreme means with them. I mean, with Korah, what happened there? The earth swallowed them up. And yet he came through, and it says, in verse 12, it says, "Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace." This is after, in verse 11, "Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned away my wrath from the children of Israel, whilst he was jealous of my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy." He was ready to destroy all of Israel because of this, because of one thing that goes on. You think of cancer or a plague that goes on. Yeah, you know, that's why isolation of that problem, separation, like we're talking about, separation of the problem away from there to avoid it at all cost, quarantining people that have a disease so that it doesn't spread. And that's what was happening here. The people themselves, they were turning away, and ended up such that they got judged by God. We know in Revelation and elsewhere, whoremongers and adulterers, they'll be judged by God. And the sad part is we have Christians that fall prey to that and fall into that. And well, you know, I was once a Christian. Well, you know, for a Christian, we're a Christian forever. You know, and if they so choose to focus away from them, they're going to be judged for that. They didn't lose their salvation. Like Paul was saying back at the end of chapter 9, you know, to be a castaway, these people were going to actually cause themselves to be disqualified from that reward. They aren't going to lose their salvation. That's the thing Paul was trying to point out to them. He said, you're running this race. We want you to be a runner. We want you to we don't want you to be a spectator on the side. We don't want you to be out in the crowd. If you're going to run the race, run the race. Otherwise, you become disqualified from that race. And that's what he's trying to hold before it. This is in verse 9, along with this, is neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. That's what we're talking about, the fiery serpents that came in and where Moses told them to look on that and they would be spared that. Well, if we look on the Lord Jesus Christ as we should and focus on him, we'll be able to walk through life a whole lot easier than we are by, oh, you know, I can do it myself. Oh, I read that chapter before. I don't need to read it again. Well, you know, it's like you read through your Bible, the end of it, start over. You know, how many I've gotten partway through going, oh man, this is so hard. Nope, keep going. And then start over again. And start over again. And start over again. Pastor, how many times did you say, I think last year?
I've read through it more than
50
times.
50 times. I'd like to say that. I know, making it through there. Sometimes you get to places where, Lord, why'd you put that in there? Well, it was for some edification for us to understand that he was meticulous and for us to know that God's position for us is we're to obey him, follow his laws, follow the rules that are laid up, you know, and they're not onerous rules. We just put the hardness of it on there. Oh, I can't follow that. I can't do that. No, it's easy. He tells us, you know, don't let us tempt Christ. We go out, things that we want to do on our own, we're tempting Christ in a lot of ways. We're telling, you know, other Christians, yeah, I can do this and it doesn't affect me. Yeah, well, guess what? I know a lot of Christians that had a rough early life. They're now suffering those consequences. You know, I think of, you know, people that I've met that lived a rough life. They're now living that rough life with different types of diseases in their body because of the effects of the sin that they had. They're saved and going to heaven. And they know that what they did previously affected what happened with them. And in reality, limited themselves for God. That's what happens when they tempt the Lord. You know, and tempted and were destroyed the serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Some of them went through there and they were just killed. God says, I've had enough of this. Moses, just be quiet. I'm getting rid of these people. Or in some cases, God will go, I'm going to be merciful to him. And Moses is going, no, get rid of him. God probably say, Moses, come on, let's get this thing together here. They really did. But they went through in their destroyer. And these things happened unto them in samples that they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are to come. In other words, they were examples. I've known of men that walked with the Lord that somehow lost sight of where they were going. Their life ended early. Or they got so caught up in what they were doing that God never used them again, and they just kind of fell out of the obscurity. And it's so sad that when they go through and look at that, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, I think there's one in Psalms talks about pride goeth before a fall. You know, that's important, because there are people out there that I'm so good, I'm so well studied in this thing, I can do what I want to do, and you don't worry about it. And sadly, they're going to fall. They're going to fall hard. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What he's pointing out here is no temptation is so great that you can't turn away from it. In fact, I was listening to Dr. Stanley this morning, talked about Joseph, you know, that temptation. He goes, I'm not, he says, I've been given, run over everything in this house except for you, pointing to Potiphar's wife. And he fled. He suffered the consequences because she lied about this. But yet you go through that. You look at Daniel. He goes, I'm not going to eat of the king's food. But, he says, I tell you what, I won't eat of that if you'll let me do this, and I'll show you that I'm going to be really much better. And sure enough, that's what happened. He said no to that. You know, it was tempting. You know, the other kids of that group probably said, yeah, you know, that's no big deal. Sure enough, God rewarded him for that stand. You think of others that said no and were not going to be tempted. You know, it says, therefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as a wise man. Judge ye what I say. He's saying flee from that stuff. Flee from, get rid of that. And then kind of wind it down to trust God's principles. And through verse 22, he's equating the Lord's Supper, or not equating, he's contrasting the Lord's Supper and the table of the idolaters. Because some of these guys in Corinth were actually taking opportunity. Maybe they were, you know, businessmen with them or associates. They were actually going into the temples and partaking of their feast. And the others were seeing this, and you know, they were kind of scratching their head, going, "What are you going in there for?" You know, knowing that, hey, when you're going in there, these guys are actually not offering it to idols. Those idols are actually demons. That's what Paul's trying to tell them. This is not good. You don't need to be there. And it's like in today's society where people join groups. Dr. Rice years ago, and I think Ironsides, they got caught up in the Masons. And once they realized what they were, they goes, will not have anything to do with this because of how and what they were worshiping. They looked at some of those are secret rituals. You can't be talking about that. He goes, well, you know what? They don't agree with the Bible here. Oh, yeah, they do. You know, they pull a verse out and try to line up to it. There are other fraternal organizations that have their initiations. If you look at them, they are demonic in their presentation and of what they do in secret. Because if they published it, people wouldn't join them. You know, I had a grandfather that was very much caught up in Masons. And what the Apostle Paul is trying to point out is Christians have no business being part of that. He talks about here, and I'll go through this quickly because I'm running over, but he's talking about the cup of blessing we bless is not the communion, is it not the communion, the blood of Christ? the bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What shall I say then? That the idol is anything, or that that which is offered as a sacrifice of idols anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And we're talking the one true God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with the devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table or the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? What he's trying to point out is that if you're a Christian and you're partaking of the Lord's Supper, you have no business going into those temples. Even though it might be innocent and they're not going through any of their stuff, you're agreeing with them in form, is what Paul's trying to say. That happens today. I've not joined a lot of military fraternal organizations because I know what they teach in there. Yeah, they do some really good stuff on the side, but you take a look at what they're doing under and behind the scenes, it's not ethical. It's not proper that a Christian should be even involved with it. But yet, sadly, there are a lot of men that goes, oh man, they do really good stuff. Yeah, they do. But what are they saying on the other hand? They're actually agreeing with the devil. Yeah, it looks good on the outside. Satan's a great deceiver. That's the sad part. That is the real sad part. And when we look at that, Paul's saying, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Yes, we do. God is a jealous God. And we need to do all that we can do to honor the Lord in all of those areas. Israel failed in all those areas. Oftentimes we fail in those four areas as well. But if we look at that and realize that our position before the Lord is such that he sees us through Jesus Christ. He sees us righteous. Even when we fail, he sees us righteous because he dusts us off, we confess our sin, and we turn it over to him. Let's pray. Father, again,